Our second message on the topic of building a God-glorifying Christian family, I ask that you once again unite your hearts with me in prayer as we seek the Lord for His help. Let's pray, dear congregation. Our Father, how we bless Your name this evening. We acknowledge, O God, that You are God, and besides You, there is no other. We thank You, God, that You are the true and living One. You are the One who is highly exalted above all gods. Lord, You reign above the nations. You reign in the lives of Your people. Lord, You reign supreme. And we thank You, God, that You've called many of us here in this room to know You through faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Oh, Lord, we acknowledge it wasn't always like this for many of us, but in Your timing and by Your grace, You called us through the gospel so that we could respond to the overtures of grace, repent and believe the gospel and be saved. And we thank You, O God, that You've washed many of us from our sins so that now we are partakers of the eternal gospel. We thank You, O God, that we now know You, that we're no longer strangers and aliens to the covenants of promise. We are Your children and You are our God. And for these things we bless Your name. And our Father, as we come this evening to Your word, we're asking that You would fill us afresh with Your own person by the Spirit, that You would come and empower this place with His presence and person, and Lord, that You would give us all that we need to experience the word and the power thereof. Lord, that You would come and quicken us, Lord, and help us to understand the things that will be set forth. Our God, You know our physical frames. We are tired. It's been a long day. So God, come we pray with reviving grace and bless us now as we feed upon Your holy word. Come, Lord, we ask. Move in our midst, we pray. We ask it in the worthy name of Jesus our Lord. Amen. If I were to ask you here this evening to name for me three or four things that constitute the greatest threat to the family, what would your list include? Perhaps some of you would say the franticness of life. Perhaps others would say the television or the internet. Or perhaps others of you would say worldliness or simply godlessness in the home. Well, while all of these things are threats to the family, to be sure, I believe that Elton and Pauline Trueblood set forth perhaps the greatest threat to the family in their book entitled The Recovery of the Family, saying that of all of the disintegrating factors of the family, the chief is the loss of the sense of the meaning of what a family ought to be. They say our basic failure is not the failure to live up to a standard that is accepted, but rather the failure to keep the standard clear. Well, I believe that these two authors have really hit the nail right on the head. While there are many things that can contribute to the breakdown of the family, I believe that one of the greatest contributing factors is a lack of clarity on how the family is to be run. Friends, people in the world have no idea about what the true nature and essence of the family is to look like. There's great confusion and disorder pertaining to the basic roles and functions of each individual in our homes, and therefore, our homes are a mess. Friends, I don't need to tell you that we are seeing perhaps the greatest demise of the family that the world has ever known. Divorce is skyrocketing. Couples are disillusioned and children are being hurt. And the sacred and blessed institution of marriage, which God has created for the good of man and for the glory of His own name, is crumbling on every front. Well, why? Why is this happening? Well, it's happening primarily because of the great disorder that exists in many people's
homes.
Well, how then can we who name the name of Christ avoid such tragedy in our own lives? How can we who are Christians have homes that are happy places where the glory and honor of God is evidently manifested for all to see? Well, friends, the answer to these questions is by going back to God's design for how the family is to be ordered. The answer is by going back to the Word of God and seeing what God Himself, the author and originator of marriage, has said in His Word. Dear friends, listen, if we lose sight of the Bible's portrait of the home and don't obey what God has said in His Word, even we who profess to be Christians are headed into great trouble. Now, as we come this evening to consider how the family is to be ordered based upon the Word of God, we come to a section that is known as the Household Code, and it's found in Ephesians chapter 5, and I ask that you turn with me there this evening in your Bibles. Ephesians chapter 5, and this evening we'll be considering verses 24 to 25. Ephesians 5, verses 24 to 25. Now, this household code, as theologians often refer to it, are the rules that are formulated from the Word of God that are to govern our behavior patterns within our homes. The household code speaks about the code of ethics that are to help things run smoothly in our own families. Now, prior to this discussion of the household code and this portion of the letter here to the Ephesians, the Apostle Paul has taken about 5.5 chapters to speak to these Ephesians, about how they can have good relations in God's home, namely the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, having done this, the Apostle Paul then goes on in verses 22 and following to speak about how Christians can have good relations in their own natural homes. Now, in doing this, the Apostle Paul addresses the wives, the husbands, the children, and slaves and masters. Now, for our study specifically on the family, we'll consider the first three of these categories. And for tonight, as we begin, we'll consider Paul's words to the wives. Paul's words to the wives. The Apostle Paul comes here in this section of God's Word, and as it were, he has a marital counseling session with us and asks, do you really want to have a God-glorifying Christian home? He asks, do you really want the blessing of God in your home for your own good and the praise of God's own great name? Well, if so, this is what you must do. And turning first to the wife, he says in verse 22, note it with me in your Bibles, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Now, we should pause for a moment and ask the question, why is it that the Apostle Paul, in this section of God's Word and also in the parallel passage in Colossians chapter 3, why is it that he begins by addressing the wives first and not the husbands? This seems a bit strange to me, I confess. Well, I believe that Paul does this for at least two reasons. I just throw these things out here as possibilities. First, it could be that in some of the churches in Paul's day, these believing wives who knew that they were equal with their husbands in Christ, perhaps they were becoming unruly, maybe even acting like leaders in the home. Or maybe there was a stream of feminism that was running in the early churches. So Paul feels that he must now direct his instruction, firstly, to the wives that make up various households. But perhaps secondly, Paul deals with the married ladies first to do somewhat of a reversal to that which happened at the fall. You remember how it was back in Genesis chapter 3 that it was the woman who was first to see falling into transgression, bringing shame upon her family and, as it were, through the wives, eventually all the families afterwards, if they're not saved. Well, in light of this, perhaps Paul, in instructing the wives first, does this so as to correct the order that was undone when the devil first came and tripped up Eve. Now, as you see in your bulletins, this evening I have given the first verse here for consideration, the heading of the mandate of submission. And I did this because this is what we have in Ephesians 5 and verse 22. As the Apostle Paul here begins to give his inspired household code for living well as a family, he begins first by addressing the married ladies. And as he does this, his words come to us in a command saying, "Wives, submit to your own husbands." Now, this word submit here is the main word that is given to wives in scriptures concerning the marital relationship. While, of course, wives are also called to respect their husbands, as Paul says in verse 33 of this chapter, and while, of course, wives are called to love their husbands, as Paul commands them in Titus chapter 2, submit is the main word which comes up most often. Here, wives, is what God would have you to do in your relationship with your husband with the help and grace of God. Paul says, "Wives, submit to your own husband." Ladies, married ladies, this is a command from the living God. This is not an option for you to think about doing if you decide to do it. It's not a take it or leave it matter. No, it's a command that God places upon you, that you, with the help of the Spirit of God, are to seek to obey. Paul's words here are very plain, and if you don't do what he says, you ladies, married ladies, will be undermining the very foundation of your home, and therefore you must take the apostolic command very serious. Listen, wives, cast off this command of submitting to your own husband, and you will pull down your own homes with your own hands. Heed the word of God. Paul's language is very plain. Now, concerning this word submit here, we need to speak about it in both negative and positive terms. There is much confusion about what it means for the wife to submit to the husband, so we do well to clarify this matter a bit. Firstly, then negatively, concerning this matter of the wife submitting to her own husband, we must say that submission does not mean slavery. Submission does not mean slavery. When Paul commands the wife to submit to their husband, and that on an ongoing basis, as the present tense of the verb makes it clear, he's not giving the picture of the husband belting out commands to his wife saying, "Get me a burger," or "Fix me a snack," and the wife running around saying, "Yes, master, yes, master, yes, master." This is not the biblical picture of what it means to submit. The word submission is not synonymous for menial bondage or a second-rate Christian. Interestingly enough, it's not even the same word for obedience that the Apostle Paul gives to the children in 6:1 in connection to how they are to respond to their husbands. So firstly, submission, ladies, does not mean slavery. Secondly, then, negatively speaking, submission does not mean absolutely agreeing with everything that your husband says. And here's where I get in trouble with the men after the message. It does not mean this, ladies. There may be things, wives, that you disagree with concerning your husband, and this doesn't mean that you are not submitting to him, especially if you're married to an unbeliever. You may not agree with everything that your husband says, and this does not mean that you are in sin. Wives, God has made you to be rational beings who are able to form your own opinions about things. And even if at every single point you do not line up with your husband's, this does not mean that you are not a submissive wife. Thirdly, then, submission does not mean that you follow your husband into sin or allow him to abuse you. Concerning sin, firstly, wives, if your husband ever calls you to sin, you are not to obey him. Okay? You're not to follow him into sin. No, you say with the apostles in Acts chapter 5, we must obey God rather than man. Secondly, if your husband ever abuses you, you are to get help immediately, either from the church or from the police. Fourthly, then, submission does not mean inferiority. It does not mean inferiority. Husbands are not better than wives. Husbands do not have a better standing before God than their wives. And just because someone submits to another person, this does not mean that that other person is greater than they are. This is not what it means at all. As you know, the Lord Jesus himself was submissive to his Father when he became a man. But this in no way suggests that he was inferior to him. Well, fifthly then, negatively speaking, submission does not mean that you never seek to give your husband input or advice about how things are to be run in the home. Wives, please don't think that this is the biblical picture of being submissive. No, Proverbs 31, she opens her mouth with wisdom. So wives, speak to your husbands, right? Give them good advice. Give them your counsel. Again, open your mouths with wisdom and help your homes to be all that God calls them to be. So positively then, having seen what submission is not, we ask, what is it? What is it? Well, the Greek word that is used for submit is hupotasso, and it literally means to arrange under or to line up under. It means to place oneself in a rank lower than someone else. It means to be subject to a person, not to be their boss. The sense of the word means to subordinate oneself under another's authority or leadership, and the middle voice of the verb here shows that this is something that is to be done freely, willingly, and voluntarily by the wives themselves. A good translation would be, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands. Okay? Submit yourselves to your own husbands. This is not to be a forced submission, wives. It is to be a self-submission. And you recall how earlier in this chapter, the Apostle Paul said back in verse 18, "And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit." And then he goes on to say a few things, and then he comes to address this whole matter of wives submitting to their husbands. Well, wives, this is the picture of how the Spirit-filled woman, the wife, acts in the relationship with her husband. Many a Christian woman says, "I'm filled with the Spirit. I'm filled with the Spirit." Yeah? Let me see it in your home. Let me see how you operate in connection to your husband, dear wife. The truly Spirit-filled woman is the woman who says, "I, by the grace of God, will submit to my husband." Here, wives, is how you fulfill the command of the Apostle Paul to submit to your husbands. Now, John Piper has given a nice definition of what biblical submission is to be all about, and it really connects to much of what I've said, so I give it to you now. Piper says that submission is, quote, "the divine calling of a wife to honor and affirm her husband's leadership and help carry it through according to her gifts. It is the disposition to follow a husband's authority and an inclination to yield to his leadership. It is an attitude that says, 'I delight for you to take the initiative in our family. I'm glad when you take responsibility for things and lead with love. I don't flourish in the relationship when you're passive, and I have to make the family work.'" So, a nice definition. I like the opening words. He says, it is the divine calling of the wife. And that's what it is, ladies. God has called you to put yourself under the leadership and the authority of your husband in your home. Here is the essence of what submission is all about. Now, Before we take up the next heading, let's consider for a moment why the Apostle Paul uses the adjective own in the verse. Paul says, wives, submit to your own husbands. There's been considerable discussion about why Paul uses the word here, so let me just seek to answer it now. What's Paul's point in doing this? What does he mean? Well, simply put, in saying that wives are to submit to their own husbands, Paul is highlighting how special this submission of the wife to the husband in the marriage really is. Paul says concerning the wife that this is to be to their own husband. The point is that they are not to submit just to any man. And you see, friends, especially in Paul's day, this would have been particularly important because in the first century, in Roman times, women outside the church were looked down upon and called to be submissive and obedient to other men who were not their own husbands. Well, Paul says that this is not to be the case. Wives are not called to submit to all men in every sphere. There is a special kind of submitting, a warm and gracious kind of submitting called for here that the wife is to do for her husband and for her husband alone. So consider with me, secondly, then, for this evening in the verse, the manner of submission in 22b, the manner of submission. We ask, in what way is this loving, spirit-filled submission of the wife to the husband to be done? Well, notice what Paul says. He tells us that wives are to submit to their own husbands, note the phrase, as to the Lord. As to the Lord. Now, this last phrase here in the verse really gives us the character and the disposition for how the wife is to submit to her own husband. Paul says, wives, do it as to the Lord. That is to say, do it as part of your obedience to Christ, the one who has saved you from your sins. Well, wives here this evening, isn't this then a grand motive to do what Paul, God through him, has called you to do? It takes it from that which is so maybe menial to that which is now glorious and God-honoring. Wives, do what I'm commanding you to do, but do it as unto the Lord. Do it in your service as a Christian woman to Jesus Christ, the one who has redeemed you from your sins. Paul says, wives, submit to your husbands. Why? Because this is what pleases Jesus. He says, do it as if Jesus walked by, tapped you on the shoulder and said, I myself am asking you to be this way. Now, it's interesting to note how in the parallel passage in Colossians chapter 3, that Paul says that wives are to submit to their own husbands as is fitting to the Lord, as is fitting to the Lord. And this word fitting here is very important because it literally means to do that which is suitable or that which is right. And ladies, it is suitable and it is right based upon the Word of God. When you submit to your own husbands, this is what Christ, your King, would have you to do in your obedience to Him. When you submit to your husband, you're submitting to Christ. If you don't submit to Him, you are disobeying Christ, your King. Consider with me thirdly then this evening, the motive for submission. The motive for submission. In verse 23, we ask, why should the wife submit to her own husband? Why should she do it? Well, Paul tells us the answer to this in verse 23. Note the words. He says that wives are to submit to their own husbands as to the Lord, for or because the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Well, dear congregation, the Apostle Paul here gives us the reason now for the wife's submission to the husband. Here is its basis and its ground. We ask, what does Paul mean when he says here in 23 that the husband is the head of the wife? What does he mean here? I mean, is Paul just being a male chauvinist as he's often accused of being? Well, friends, not at all. Rather, when Paul talks about the husband being the head of the wife, what he's doing is simply stating a fact that is clearly rooted in the order of creation. Man is the head or the leader of the wife because, as we saw a few weeks ago in Genesis chapter 2, the man was made first and then the woman came after him. Now, this is exactly how the Apostle Paul argues in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11 and following, when in speaking about the women learning in silence in the church with all submission, he says, quote, "I do not permit a woman to teach or to have authority over a man, but to learn in silence." And then he gives the reason for this when he says, "For Adam was first formed, then Eve." Right? Order of creation. In a similar way, in speaking about male headship, Paul uses the same rationale, saying in 1 Corinthians 11, verses 8 and 9, "For man is not from woman, but woman from man. Nor was man created for the woman, but woman for the man." So here, dear congregation, is the rationale. Here is the reason. Here's what it means. Why the husband is the head of the wife. It's not that he's better than the wife. It's not that he's smarter than the wife. No. It's because according to the Bible, this is the natural and proper order of things, and to have anything else is utter chaos. Paul says, "Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord, because he is your head." And then Paul draws an analogy and says, "As also Christ is the head of the church, the one who is the Savior or the protector or the preserver of the body." Now, it's interesting to see here how the Apostle Paul draws this illustration of Christ and the church and the husband and the wife relationship in the marriage. Now, as you know, this is something that Paul will speak about more in this chapter. But we ask, what's his point in doing this? Why does he do this? What does it mean? Well, simply understood, Paul uses the marriage relationship between the husband and the wife to illustrate the very deep and spiritual relationship that Christ has with his church. And what a beautiful picture it is. Amen. Paul draws from the one to illustrate the other. The church is the bride of Christ. Jesus is the bridegroom. And as such, Jesus Christ loves the church just as every spirit-filled Christian husband is to do to his wife. Well, having seen then the mandate of submission, wives, submit to your own husbands, the manner of submission as unto the Lord, and the motive of submission, for the husband is the head of the wife, consider with me finally for this evening the model of submission in verse 24. The model of submission. Paul comes now, lastly, in this verse to conclude all that he has been saying, and he does so with a very powerful illustration. Having given all of the instruction to the wives in the prior verses, he says now, "Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything." As I said, Paul's drawing his conclusion here. Paul wants to now drive his point home, as it were. Here the Apostle Paul connects the thought that he has spoken of in verse 23. And makes it real practical for the wives. He says, "Wives, just as you know that the church is to submit to Christ in all things," he says, "in like manner, be under the authority of your husbands in all things." Now, ladies, I ask, did you catch the last little phrase at the end of verse 24? "In all things." See, Paul does not say, ladies, just in some things, nor does he say in just the areas of your life that you want to be in submission. No. Rather, he says, "Wives, be subject to your husbands in all things, and wives, nothing is to be excluded." Here the Apostle Paul is calling for universal submission of the wife to the husband. He's saying that there is not to be any part or any sphere of your life that is to be outside of your husband's subordination. Just as Christ, rather the church, is to obey Christ in everything, so also the wife to her husband, again, except barring sin. Here, wives, is what Paul expects from you. According to the word of God, here is how you are to conduct yourselves in your own homes in connection to your husbands if things are going to go well. Well, so ends Paul's instruction in connection to the wives in the home. Now, wives here this evening, I know that this teaching from the Word of God is very countercultural. It's very different to what you're used to hearing in the world. In the world, you're told, you're the boss, you're free, you're liberated. Do what you want. Don't let anyone tell you different. Well, wives, I ask then, is it any wonder why so many marriages then are in the shape that they're in? Wives, is there any wonder why we may be watching the death of the germ cell of all civilization, namely the family? There's no guesswork that's needed, wives. Homes are a mess because they are out of order. And what a sad and horrible thing it is. The biblical pattern of Scripture is not being followed. And thus that which God created for man's good and for His own glory is suffering greatly. Well, as we think then about our subject for tonight, as we think about it by way of application and how important your roles are, ladies, in the home, I want to close by making three applications, and the first goes to my dear wives here this evening. Ladies here this night, married ladies, listen. If you're ever going to be all that Christ calls you to be, you must regularly be in the Word of God, crying out to Him in prayer for help for all that He calls you to be. Listen, this is a very high standard. And as you know, the world completely talks against it. What? Submit? Did you say the S word? No. Marriages today, take it out of the vows. Don't say submit. What will people think? Well, they may think you're a Christian. They may think you're trying to honor God. They may think you're trying to use biblical language. Blessed be His name. But listen, ladies, this is a tall order here. You have the world, the flesh, and the devil constantly bombarding you with the opposite message of submission. So how are you going to do what God calls you to do? You are going to do what God calls you to do, I trust. How are you going to do it? It's not going to be in your own strength. It's not going to be by listening to your own heart and the world and patterning your life after the ungodly. No, it's going to happen by you being a woman of the Word of God. By being a woman of prayer. Firstly then, by being a woman of the Word. Your minds are going to have to be conditioned with what the Scriptures teach. You're going to have the Word of God regulating your own conscience, your own mind, your own decision making in life. Dear ladies, 5 or 10 minute little devotions in the morning and then getting on with the rest of the day is not going to do it. You need the Word of God to cleanse you, to help you to think thoughts after God. You got to be in the Word. And the Word of God has to be in you. Secondly, ladies, you have to be women of prayer. You have to pray in the commands of Scripture. God, help me to be the woman that You call me to be. Help me, God. I can't do it in and of my own strength. I need Your grace, Lord. I need Your grace. I need Your help. Ladies, this is what you must do if you're going to fulfill what the Bible calls you to do and to be. Wives, if you want to be a blessing to your families, here's a verse that you must embrace and live out in your home. Here is how Christ will be honored through you, Christian wife. So pray much. Read the Word of God much. Resist the world, the suggestions of the enemy, who, as he came to the first woman back in Genesis chapter 3, interesting, he didn't go to the man, he went to the woman. He's already seeking to usurp authority in the home. Resist him steadfast in the faith and say, I will not listen to you, but I will obey God in Christ. Wives, be women of the Word and be women of prayer. Secondly, then, for this evening, I want to speak to the husbands here. The husbands here. Men, let me ask you, what are you doing to make your wives' submission to you easy? What are you doing? You know, it's interesting to note how after the Apostle Paul commanded the wives to submit to their own husbands in Ephesians 5 and verse 22, Paul does not come and say in Ephesians 5, verse 25, husbands, rule your wives well. He doesn't say that. What does he say? After commanding the wives to submit to their husbands, he says, husbands, love your wives. Husbands, listen, if you really want submissive wives, then love them much. Love them much. Submit, he says, love. Submit. Love. Husbands, love them dearly. Love them constantly. Love them sacrificially as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. Thank God for your wives, Christian men. They're the greatest gift from above, humanly speaking. Treat them special. Cherish them. Help them to fulfill their God calling in their own lives by loving them, by treating them well. Are you doing this, husbands? Are you? You take your wife out once in a while, let her know you love her. You go out on date nights still. You buy her flowers, maybe chocolates. You let her know that you thank God for her. You love her fellowship. You do her good. Here's how, men, husbands, you'll begin to see your wives submitting to you most willingly and most freely. Husbands, love your wives. Help them in this their calling of submission. Well, lastly then for this evening, by way of application, I want to speak to the singles that are among us this evening. A lot of singles here this night. Firstly, I want to speak to the single ladies in the congregation, the single ladies. Dear young ladies or older ladies, now is the time for you to start to embrace this model of submission in your own life. Now is the time, single ladies, to get this concept in your heart. And now is the time for you to pray that God would begin to mold you into such a woman. Dear single ladies, get this concept of submission in your mind and never let it go. While the world would mock at it, I would say back to the world, this is the most beautiful picture of a woman that anyone has ever seen. A woman of God submitting to her husband's loving leadership. Indeed, this is precious in the sight of God. So single ladies, seek to embrace this perspective now. Seek to, ladies in the home, be submissive to your parents. Learn to hear what they call you to do. And as far as it follows Scripture, obey them as unto the Lord. And as you learn to submit to those in your home who are called to lead and rule, you will develop a heart and a habit of submission in your own life. Finally, then, for the single men here this evening, Christian men, begin now to look for those type of women who mostly display, or greatly display rather, a submissive spirit. Begin now, young, single Christian men, to look for the women who display a submissive spirit. A single man, listen, cutesiness only goes so far. Aim for godliness when you pick a mate. Because when you get married, all the cutesiness goes away. I'm speaking in the proper sense, of course. The little thing that got you, your heart pounding in that sense, the cuteness, that will wear off eventually. Not that your wife won't be cute to you, that's not what I'm saying, but you get the point. And when all of that settles, you see, you have either a woman of God or not. And you've got to live with that person till death do you part. So don't make your decisions on a mate based upon, oh, she's so cute. And if she gets your heart going that fast, it may very well be that that's not the woman for you. Ought she to be the apple of your eye? Yes. Ought you to be rejoicing when you see her? Yes. But there's something different between wow and maybe something that's lustful and not of God. So young men, don't just go for cutesiness. Go for godliness. Many a man has made the mistake of marrying a girl that he was so swept away by, but he did not see really what was there. Aim for godliness. Aim for a woman who's willing to submit. Look for it in the home. Look for it in the mother. And as you see these things, single men, pray about that individual, if that might be the individual that God would have you to marry. Aim for godliness, young single men, and you will always do well. I end this evening with a word to those here tonight who may not know the Lord. You may not be a Christian. Think about some women here. You may be married, maybe not. Maybe you're thinking about this instruction that has been given tonight in this series on building a God-glorifying family. You're not a Christian, and you're hearing this teaching about wives submitting to their husbands, and you think, wow, I would never want to do that. And I can understand in your native condition how you would not want to do that. But my dear unsaved friend, what's the miracle of grace consist in is that when God comes and saves you, He makes you a brand new creation. And instead of running away from the biblical pattern in your life, you now desire to do the will of God. This call here is for the Christian wife. She's called to submit to her husband. Paul is not giving a call here to Christian wives that they cannot fulfill. No, he's giving a call that he knows they can fulfill with the help and grace of God. But my dear unsaved friend here this night, as you look upon what the Bible calls women to be and to do, perhaps again you say that's not what you would want to do in your life. But my friend, as you say that, remember you're walking away from what God would have you to be, not only in the marital sense, but in other areas of life as well. The reason why you don't want to do what God calls you to do, the reason why unsaved husbands don't want to love their wives, is because their relationship with God, first and foremost, is all messed up. My dear unsaved friend, you have a controversy with the living God. Your sins have separated you from Him. Because of your sin, God is angry at you. God says He's holy and that He must punish sin. He's the judge of all the earth. And therefore, that leaves you in great trouble. So what must you do to be saved from God's judgment? What must you do to be forgiven of your sins? You're guilty before God, as we all are. What must you do? You must look to Christ, the Son of God, who came into the world, sinners to save. You must look to Jesus, who left heaven and became a man and lived a perfect sinless life for the guilty. And then on the cross of Calvary, He gave His life as a sacrifice for our sins, bearing away all of God's judgment in the place of the guilty so that they could be forgiven. That's the good news of the gospel. That's what the cross is all about. Jesus taking the punishment that others deserve. He never sinned in His life. He was sinless. But on the cross, He was punished as if He was the greatest sinner that ever lived, so that everyone believing in Him could be forgiven of all of their sins before God Almighty. My dear unsaved person here this night, come to Christ by faith and ask Him to cleanse you. Come to know God in truth. Come to enter into a relationship with the God who made you. And as you do, you will see that His commands are not burdensome. They're not grievous, but they are the very things that you will begin to delight to do. Come, firstly, and have your relationship restored with God through Christ. And then, be the type of woman, be the type of wife that brings glory and honor to Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank You for the calling of Your word upon the wives. We thank You, Lord, that firstly, they stand equal before You in connection to their husbands. We thank You, O God, that in Christ we are one. And Lord, I pray for the wives here this day, this evening, that in their submission to their own husbands, they would reflect the church's submission to Christ, the head of the church. I pray, O God, that You would take the instruction this evening and use it for good in the lives of the wives represented tonight. Oh Lord, so much depends upon their submission to their husbands. If they cast off this command, O God, all else will fail. Give them grace, O God, for their day. Help them to stand with Christ in His word. And Father, I pray for the husbands in the room this night that You'll help us to help our wives to fulfill their callings in their own lives. O God, do us all good as Christian families, and might we glorify Your name in all that we do and say. We pray it through Jesus our Lord. Amen.